Welcome to Talk the Dog, the show where we find a bone to pick and a take to give. These are not hot takes. These is dog takes. Can I talk that dog? Let's shut up and grab some tape. What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back in for another loaded hour here on the Film Guy Network. Jonathan, what's them round ball scores? Any good games? It looks like the numbers would indicate to me there's some good basketball games going on because people are busy.
Well, I closed out my... Okay, so Purdue and Texas are in a one-score game right now. Mm. Texas winning 67-66 with 5 minutes left.
Mm. Dude, so close.
And then Iowa Nebraska is a 1-point game with 9 minutes left in the second quarter or second half.
That Iowa Nebraska game is nasty.
I'll do it.
Have you seen Twitter? Dude?
I mean, yeah. Have you seen that rivalry in general?
Yeah, those people—they
don't mess
like,
around.
They do not like each other.
It's unfortunate they're in different conferences. No, they're in the same conference.
They're in the same conference.
But wasn't there a moment there where they weren't Big 12, Big 10?
Like I do want to say
it was a long time.
A while ago.
Long time.
It's been a minute though.
Yeah, we'd love to see the return of that. They're bordering states, right? Iowa and Nebraska?
I'm not going to act like I'm a geography expert, especially when it gets up in that area.
You know ball.
I don't know ball up there.
I'm fairly certain though.
I was talking about you know football.
Oh,
you
yeah.
don't know geographical
hey,
ball.
We're in the southeast region. I got it. I can tell you exactly where everything is. But I get over in that area, I'm no good.
Welcome into the local hour. We got a loaded one for you. I need you to like, subscribe, tell a friend up front. Go ahead and do it. If you haven't liked the stream and you are in the chat right now, I need you to go ahead and do that whilst firing off in the chat. It is Thursday during the off season, which means we have Discord Q&A lined up for you guys. We got some good stuff loaded up over there in the Discord. All right, patreon.com/BrooksAustin if you want to be a part of that group chat. Gator quarterback talking some trash.
Some good
stuff. You watched another UGA game.
I sure
of note.
Did.
You also have a top five for us tonight.
I do.
We got a lot of tape to watch.
Sure do.
It's slam loaded. It's Love a great it. Show. All right, what do we want to start with first and foremost? I think we should start with that Gator quarterback talking some nonsense. Talking some real, actually.
Yeah, I don't think that was nonsense. Like,
but this man is from Bogart County, Kirby.
I was about to say.
He's from right down the street.
The only thing that doesn't make any sense about it is considering where Aaron Filo is from.
Yeah.
Hating Georgia
and
seems
who he's
weird.
Dating.
And who he's dating. But, you know,
well, if,
I respect it.
No, let's first clear something up. If your significant other has any sway on who you cheer for, you're not about it anyway. So that's what I'll say there. So even if his girlfriend, your girlfriend's a Georgia fan, how do you know? That shouldn't be a reason you cheer for Georgia.
Anyways, Aaron Filo said he don't like them dogs. What did Aaron, do we have the quotes?
The actual quotes? But I can base.
Go ahead.
It's not even really a quote. It's a question of, you don't really like Georgia. And he goes, no, not at all. And then they ask him, but you're kind of from that area. He goes, yep, doesn't matter. I haven't been, hated them my whole life. And they say, you know, your girlfriend's a Georgia fan. She goes, yep. Doesn't change a thing. I still don't like Georgia. So just basically describing his disdain for the Georgia football program. Mm. There's not a lot of quotes to have from it. It's not like he gives a soliloquy of, I don't like
it's
the Georgia.
It's more of a you got to watch it to feel the disdain type of thing.
Exactly. Huh? And that's why I didn't include it in the notes. But basically, Aaron Filo not rocking with the dogs. So that's something to look forward to this year, which that's kind of the reason why I wanted this to be in the show notes is it feels nice for there to actually be a rivalry where – the team you're playing against actually dislikes you. You had this with Haynes King last year. Haynes King obviously said, and I hate losing to these guys, about Georgia and Brent Key, but it feels like more so than ever in the college football world of the modern day, people don't feel these rivalries as much.
Play that soundbite of my reckless take that's half sculpted and don't take me seriously. Hey, Aaron Filo, how about you win a job first? How about you beat Tramell Jones out? Even though I think you're going to. You should.
I mean, if they're... If they're giving you the media, you've won that job probably.
I thought if they gave you $1.2 million, they might have gave you that job.
Yeah, that's a better indicator probably
you know?
Of media availability.
You know?
But yeah, I do agree with you, Christian, of like usually you don't get a whole lot of insight of like who college players were a fan of mm-hmm. prior to their time getting into college because obviously whichever school you went to, you would hope at least is now your new team. Like that's who you're rocking with. For the foreseeable future. Now, we don't know who Aaron Filo is actually a fan of. But we just know that, hey, he doesn't like Georgia. He's at a school that hates Georgia. I'm here for it. I would imagine we know for a fact Gunnar Stockton hates Florida.
Was that Ryan Puglisi class?
Philo? Ooh, I don't remember. Maybe.
Yeah, I think so.
So that would have been Rayola, Puglisi. Yeah, they weren't recruiting Philo, unfortunately. Wasn't Philo like a Michigan State commit for a long time?
We could find out.
And then Tech flipped him?
I'm pretty sure.
I think something like that. But I always loved Philo. Yeah. I think he's a good football player.
I mean, he's a great quarterback.
I mean, if you watch that film study of me on him, you would think I think he might win a Heisman. Like, I think he's really, really good.
Yeah, he's a great quarterback.
I think Buster's system is really good, too. What do you got for me?
It's loading right now.
Daggum Weefy.
I don't see anywhere where he was a Michigan State commit.
Either way.
Georgia Tech was the third school to offer him. I know that much.
But he was the Rayola Puglisi class. That would have been 24.
Back.
24 class would have
24.
Been. 24. So, yes.
No, 24, yeah. 23 was Manning. 24 was this class.
Correct.
Either way.
Yeah, I mean,
I do appreciate that. I want some disdain, like you mentioned.
Yeah. Like,
I want some known, I don't like that place.
In the transfer portal NIL era, it feels more so than ever that it's just like, I'm here to collect a check, which is why I've kind of disliked the NFL in comparison to the NCAA or college football because of that, because the guys choose to go to these schools. They actually dislike the teams. They buy into the rivalries. You don't get that as much. You still get it to some degree, but.
Well, there you go. Chat says his dad is a diehard Tennessee fan.
Mm.
So there you go.
Probably does not like Georgia.
So is Tate Ratledge's dad.
It's true. Mm. Now they rock with the Dogs.
Yep, ripped the tee right off the back of the truck.
Yep, sure did.
I remember that.
You guys sticker in the back windows, guys?
But
I was in high school.
Mine are very...
I saw the trifecta the other day driving back from Athens. The trifecta. You ready?
Mm-hmm. What's that?
Squatted truck, truck nuts on the rear, I'm Instagram handle in the back window.
Oh, man.
The damn trifecta. And... GMC. I mean, he had it douched up. I mean, it was top of the notch, brother. Almost gave him a follow on Instagram.
Sierra's a fine
I'm glad you didn't. I'm really glad you didn't because I was just about to say, how many people do you think are following
trifecta,
you?
Trifecta, brother. Trifecta.
Like, who sees that driving down the road and is like,
it's
I need
when,
to follow this
it's
shit.
When they when they go to shows and things such as that, that's what they do it for.
You can't... Again, whatever. It's a world I don't understand.
It's a culture I do not like at all. But.
You guys more of the I only know how to describe them as like Fast and Furious cars. Are y'all more of those? Like, the loud piped Honda Accords
like
or whatever? Yeah. Huh?
Like riced cars?
I don't know what that means.
Race-inspired cosmetic enhancements.
Sure.
It's basically things that make
Yeah, is that more of your bag opposed to the squatted truck nuts?
You want to know what my bag is for vehicles?
Probably.
Does it work and doesn't have air conditioning?
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Those are the baselines right there.
I'm one for two on mine, so.
So you got a yard now. I think in a couple of years you'll be talking to me about how you want a truck bed.
Well,
do you do your own yard maintenance and lawn maintenance?
Yeah, I do. Now, I did.
How do you get rid of your trimmings and clippings and things like of such?
Well, my house is on the hill. Or like at the back of his hill. I just dump it all
house
back
on
there.
House on a hill.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
It's got a little slope.
There'll be sitting a good worm bed in a few years.
Like, subscribe, tell a friend. You watched the Georgia game?
I did watch the Georgia game yesterday.
I love introducing this segment that way. You watched the game, huh?
I did. A very old Georgia game. In these times of years, this is always a tradition of mine. When the offseason comes and there's no college football to watch, I like to give myself a little throwback, watch some old Georgia games, the previous ones, wins only, of course, and just remind myself of, you know, not necessarily the good old days, but previous regimes and players about that. So this year's game, or this week's game that I watched, was the 2014 Georgia versus Clemson game. Now, for those of you who don't remember, this is the famous Todd Gurley goes off, has almost 200 total yards, I think has over 200 total yards, basically just dismantles Clemson in the second half. So I took some notes from that. Preliminary notes, peak Brad Nessler might be one of the best play-by-play analyst in the world. His voice, the excitement he have, he's kind of tapered off. I think
that's not Whoa Nelly, right?
No.
Who does the Whoa Nelly?
Whoa Nelly's Brett Musburger.
Okay, I like Brett.
Brett's good. Brad Nessler is just iconic for me.
I see what my brain's doing there. Brad.
Understandable.
Nessler, Musburger.
Yeah, but either way, Brad Nessler was at his peak from like 2007 to like. The early years of the CBS deal. Either way, him calling this game was fantastic. The old ESPN college football theme, oh, dude. music to my ears. That and the CBS Sports, SEC on CBS will never be touched.
Tickles that itch in your brain.
It does.
Every time.
Some notes about the game. This game was a lot closer than I remember. I know the scoreboard suggests Georgia beat the hell out of Clemson. This was a one-score game in the fourth quarter. Like, it was very back and forth in lead-up. Things have changed. My, how things have changed. Georgia's running 21 personnel for a large portion of this. And not just, hey, we've got two running backs on the field. We got a fullback in the three-point stance. Like, this was true 21 personnel.
Like, true eye personnel, or were they king and queen and setting it? Were they offsetting the fullback?
It was mostly – there were some eye, but it was a lot of king and
was
queen.
Was this Payne or Hicks?
This was Christian Payne.
You know, who dusted off 21 personnel out of king and queen sets this year? The wild man, Rick Pitino, or Pitino up there. Bobby Pitino.
Oh, really?
Pitino. Yeah, Bobby Pitino was out the eye this year. He ran it up Tennessee's you-know-what out the eye.
Yeah, they had some trouble stopping that.
Bring it back.
Team speed, especially on the defensive side of the ball. This is kind of a given, especially with Kirby Smart taking over the regime, but just two completely different football teams that you watch them. Next comment. It was obvious what they had in Nick Chubb and Sonny Michel from day one. This is their first appearance ever in a Georgia football uniform. Sonny Michel's getting end-around sweeps called his name in the first half when you have guys like Nick Chubb or you have guys like Todd Gurley on that roster. So to make sure that he had carries, it was very obvious that he was special. And that freshman class in general, my God. On the field, this is the first game of that class, first initial time they've ever touched a field. Here's players I saw actually starting. Nick Chubb, Sonny Michel, Isaiah McKenzie, Lorenzo Carter, Dominic Sanders. That's not even mentioning guys who didn't play like Isaiah Wynn. That class was something special to take apart. It's also obvious with Deshaun Watson.
Love me some Isaiah Wynn.
Yeah.
I was way too high on Isaiah Wynn. But I think I was right on that one.
He had a pretty good NFL career with the Patriots.
He had a decent NFL career. I don't think he was a Hall of Famer. But
No. But it was a good NFL career.
NFL retirement.
Yeah.
Played six good ones.
Very, very solid career.
Yeah.
Maybe not a first-round pick worthy, but you know what? It wasn't a bust.
Who's going to have a better career, Jamari or Isaiah? Jamari's value is going to be better considering where he was drafted.
Jamari's now with the Dolphins, right?
Yes.
So he's with his second team. I don't know. Probably Jamari.
Jamari will probably have a better.
He's like a fourth round draft pick, wasn't he?
Correct. Yeah, and he's
as
a Swiss
opposed
Army
to
knife.
28th overall, like Isaiah was.
Yeah, and Jamari can play anything too. Yeah. That's been his biggest appeal.
I felt like Isaiah couldn't have played guard.
Right.
Just couldn't. Didn't have that anchor. Couldn't uproot three techs. I feel this way about Ernest to an extent.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you for correcting me, Chat. Will Nelly was Keith Jackson. That's on me. Had a brain fart there.
You know why I'm really nostalgic about Will Nelly and Keith Jackson? Because I'm pretty sure he was in the Goofy movie when they were X-gaming.
Yes, an extremely goofy movie.
Yeah.
Not as good as the first one, but still very good.
I don't know, man. Them X-game scenes were lit.
They were good. It was also obvious that Deshaun Watson was going to be something special. And the way Dabo Sweeney in college, we know what he did in the NFL, you know, that's bad. The way Dabo Sweeney handled that quarterback situation was so weird. So they started another guy. I don't remember his name. It was a white guy who wore number 10.
It wasn't Kelly Bryant?
I believe.
No, Kelly Bryant's way
was
after.
It the hybrid quarterback baseball player?
I might get a super deep pull here. I'm going to say this is Nick Schwelsler.
I think you're right.
It's Nick Schwelsler.
Huh?
Let me pull this up right
now. But either way, so Dabo Sweeney starts this white guy. Literally, it's what it was. It's a tall white guy. And I'm sorry, sir, if you're watching
this. We love it.
He puts Deshaun Watson in.
Cole Stout.
That's who it was. A generic.
Nick Schwelsler was the third string.
Nick Schwelsler and Cole Stout are some All-American white guy names.
But Deshaun Watson comes in, launches the ball down the field. Clemson scores. And you don't really see him for the rest of the game until the game's already over. And they're like, hey, put Deshaun Watson back in. Very interesting. Biggest takeaway of this all, Todd Gurley. There's nothing I need to say. There's nothing I need to add. One of the most talented running backs I've ever seen in my lifetime. Just an absolute menace on the field. Loved that. Loved watching him play.
Sean McVay called him the best one cut back in NFL history.
I would full-heartedly agree with that. He is the first ever, like, he is good at everything. He was a physical running back. He could outrun you. He could make cuts. He was a threat out of the receiving game. He was the everything back. Like, even guys like Nick Chubb and Sonny Michel, and in today's era, there's not a everything back. Like, even Derrick Henry to a degree. I don't think Derrick Henry is necessarily a threat out of the backfield in the passing game. He's a great running back, Hall of Famer, but
I wish I had the all 22 on some girly stuff. We'd go back and watch it.
Oh man.
I might be able to get my hands on it, but I doubt it. I don't know if we'll ever see. I know we say this a lot. I don't know if we'll see anything like that anytime soon.
Maybe not. Not
I don't know if people realize how big he was.
He's huge.
That guy looked like he was 6'3", 240. He was probably 6'3", 225, but he looked like he was 240.
There's literally a drive early in the game when Clemson's got the lead, and people are, and Brad and Todd Blackledge are kind of talking amongst themselves, and like, you know, you're not seeing a lot of Todd Gurley, huh? Interesting. Finally, they hand it off, and Todd Gurley gets like a 19-yard run, and you just hear Todd Blackledge in the mic just going, give it to him again, give it to him again. Just keep giving it, like, and they give it to him three more times.
The last Gurley game I studied was his freshman year SEC championship game against Bama.
Yeah. Yep.
And I mean, he was the best player on the field then.
Yeah. And yeah.
It was like, how many times can we feed this kid and hope he doesn't bust an assignment in pass pro?
and that was not peak Todd Gurley either. No. So very fun. Another takeaway I have from this. We give Jeremy Pruitt a lot of hell. We give Todd Grantham a lot of hell for being third in Grantham. Third and Pruitt was also a very real thing. That man loved blitzing, especially with Damian Swan out of the safety position. Damian Swan had like three blitzes in this game, a corner blitz where he gets called off sides, and then two safety blitzes. Now, they worked. They sacked Clemson a hell of a lot of times this game, but just third and Pruitt was a real thing.
Stop blitzing me, Swan.
Yeah, no, literally, exactly like that. Like, I mean, A-gap blitzes too. Just send him right down the line.
Mm.
So that was interesting. Another take I got for you. And I know that he's not the first one, and people are going to...
Bro, Todd Gurley is the tallest 6'1 in the history of 6'1s.
Well, at a running back, yeah, 6'1 looks huge.
I mean, that guy looked unbelievably big to me.
Yeah.
Even on NFL fields for a back.
I miss him.
Maybe it's because he ran so tall.
Probably.
That's what it is, honestly. He's got a very upright. Uh-huh. He's not a run downhill type of
big strike zone on the cat.
Mm-hmm.
Hard to hit him, though, somehow.
I was about to say, doesn't matter. People didn't really want to hit him either.
No.
But this is another take I'm crafting, and I know that people will have a pushback on this. Michael Bennett walks so Ladd McConkey could run. The shifty white guy wearing number 80.
Michael Bennett was a freak. Michael Bennett was like 6'3", 205. Michael Bennett was so much bigger than people.
Yeah, Michael Bennett was obviously a Z-body type then.
He's a white guy.
Yes, I understand. But shifty, underrated. He was the first white guy in the Georgia
season. Here's the take. That was James Coley's heyday. When I only had to play two of them, and I could get a whole room of 6'5s.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. I get a whole room of freaks.
They were all built the same.
They were all massive.
I don't think James Coley's on this staff. This is 2014.
Okay.
No, yeah, he wasn't
staff. When did the run from like AJ to Massaqua, like all those guys?
That's like early.
Who was that?
That's like late 2000.
Was that Coley?
I don't know. There was
a run there where if you weren't 6'3", look like AJ Green, you didn't play wide receiver at Georgia. And it was the James Coley run. And he's back in it now. But they actually they play 11 now, so there's three lines.
I always thought James Coley was a Kirby Smart era guy.
No, he had a...
No, his first year was Kirby Smart's first year.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think James Coley
Who was responsible for all them dudes then?
No clue.
That guy could recruit. The Chris Durham era, like that whole
era.
And
that's what I'm going to say. Chris Durham was an ex-body receiver.
But, again, then they were in 21 personnel a lot. They only had two receivers on the field.
You're thinking of Tony Ball. He was the wide receivers coach from 2006 to 2014.
That dude recruited giants. Tony Ball. I'm going to have to recruit some Tony Ball.
By the way, Michael Bennett's only 6'2".
He's what?
He's 6'2".
That's what I said. I said 6'2", 205.
You said 6'3". But
Ladd McConkey's like right at 6', like 190.
Either way, final take I have from this is the media coverage around this team has changed completely.
Tony Ball. The media coverage?
The media. There's a play where the ball goes.
He's still coaching ball.
The quarterback overthrows the ball. I don't remember if it was on Georgia. You know, it was Hudson Mason. Hudson Mason throws the ball to the back end of the end zone to Reggie Davis, and it is too deep, does not get complete. And there are maybe three people with cameras on that media line. In a ESPN primetime game between two top 25 teams in a rivalry game, interconference rivalry, like one of the biggest moments of Sanford Stadium of that season should be jam-packed full. There's like four or five media guys there, and they're taking pictures. It's nothing like it looks today. Now, you win a couple of national championships, and the sport of college football as a whole grows a bit more. But that was astonishing to see. Like, there wasn't even anyone there to catch the football. Like, that's how – you know what I'm talking about.
No,
like,
yeah, I understand what you're talking about.
Anytime a ball goes overthrown in the end zone, there's someone there that has it. That ball hit the hedges and rolled around for a good 3 seconds before anyone was even near enough to
walk. I wonder
if
that's just, like, access has changed. Like, you think that – I don't know. I don't know what to think of that.
Here's what I
was like – now, more than ever, I feel like there's more photographers because that's more of like I don't know.
I would, but here's my thing on it, Jay Will. I would be astonished if Mark Richt in the latter years of his Georgia career was more tight on media access than Kirby
Smart.
I'm
not saying it's a Mark Richt thing. I'm saying maybe this was just a college football thing at this time, you know?
It could be.
Chris Conley, AJ Green, Tavares King, Malcolm Mitchell.
Yeah, Georgia's
all towers.
Oh yeah,
Georgia's wide receiver room.
Tony Ball is him. You know where he's at right now?
Where?
Any guesses? 31st year coach of college football.
He's still in college football.
Uh huh. UTSA, baby.
Wow.
Yep. UTSA.
Still just doing it for the love of the game,
brother. But he's at least parked a seat at UTSA. But if anybody ever wonders why, hey, man, like, and I know this is really self-cloviating right here, but everybody's like, hey, Brooks, why don't you coach? Why aren't you doing – this is why. Georgia, LSU, Louisiana Tech, UTSA. After stops at Austin Peay, South Carolina, Chattanooga, East Tennessee State, back at Chattanooga, Holy Cross, Louisville, Virginia Tech, Georgia.
Yeah, no, I'm good.
That's why.
I'm good.
I'm good on all that. I think my wife's good on all that, too.
I don't blame her.
Yeah.
Moving's not fun.
I don't know. No, it's not.
You don't know?
It's not fun. What's really not fun is, like, I find out how much of a POS I am with regards to to-do lists because I look up 18 months living in the house and nothing's on the wall and boxes are still laying around.
I understand the boxes thing. Uh-huh. Like,
wall's pretty barren in this house still.
Mm. Not this one. Well, not these walls.
Not that wall. And that wall in there is big and empty now because that's where the projector's at now.
Well, you got to have a big
big grinding tape.
You got to have a big empty wall if you got a projector. That's a necessity.
Got to. Let's stay hot with Kirby.
Let's do it.
Let's stay hot with Kirby. You got a top five for me?
I got a top five.
Oh, let's do it. I'm coming to your seat. I'm going to do your job. I'm going to do it better than you do it. How about that?
Go ahead, man.
Have you already switched cameras for me?
I'm doing that right now.
And now that we're doing this is a perfect time to use the bathroom.
Oh, I thought you were going to give me an ad read.
Oh, I would love to give an ad read if someone would give us an ad to read.
I would love to give an ad read too, Jonathan.
So if someone out there would like to give us an ad to read, I would happily read an ad right now.
How about us doing an ad read to get an ad read?
Yeah.
How about that?
Whose ads are we reading?
Times is tough, boys.
It's
what do you
right.
got for me
it's
this
the
week?
Season. This week's top five. And oh, way, actually,
buddy,
I need
Buddy
you.
Thinks he's going to the bathroom. He just don't want to be around for
I actually
five
need
reveals.
J. Will for this segment because he's
oh,
got
clickers.
I got you.
It's all right. Nah, we'll wait for Jay. Well, I'll set it up in the meantime.
Maybe space button. Oh, 80s hits. What is this nonsense?
This is my top five of the week. I was listening to some 80s music this week and decided, you know what? Need to do a top five for this. This is honestly probably one of the hardest lists I've had to do, though, because there are a handful of fantastic 80s songs.
I will say, you have been labeled a rage baiter with this top five segment as of late. I don't think this is topical enough to incite rage. I don't think we have a bunch of people in our chat that give a damn about 80s music. But hey,
whoa,
let's find out.
People do love the 80s music.
You think so?
Yes.
Okay.
I will say 80s
let's find
music
out.
Is good.
Let's
there's
find
a lot.
Out.
I'll your probably back? Leave one of your favorite songs off here either way. Jay, will you please give me number five?
Yes. No, straight to honorable mentions. Number five.
Starting
huh?
off Ooh, with Sweet okay. Child O' Mine.
All right, can I make a rule on this?
Go ahead.
You have to give me at least 3 seconds a cappella of every song.
Nah, that's all right.
No?
I'll be doing that. I don't have the singing voice. However, Sweet Child O' Mine is a fantastic song.
I probably won't know some of these.
Sweet Child
You know,
mine.
You'll probably know most of
There we go.
These,
yeah. Nailed it.
I hope so. I don't know.
Am I in camera, by the way?
You are definitely in camera.
I debated putting this one or Welcome to the Jungle. Welcome to the Jungle's gotten a little bit overplayed, though. I feel like you hear it every single high school football game. That's their coming out song.
I mean, it is fun in games.
I don't think.
We got everything you want?
There you go. What's the
next? We got fun in games.
What's the next line?
Song? That's about how everybody sings that song.
Number four. Billie Jean by okay. Michael Jackson. Another one where I had to decide
give
which.
Me a
No. I'm not singing any.
Performative.
Songs. I don't have the talent to do that. I'm sorry. Okay. I'm just making the list. I'm just the list guy.
Okay.
Brooks can be the singer if he wants. I had a really hard time deciding which Michael Jackson one I'm going to put on here as well. I limited it to one artist per, because it's only top five.
I am kind of excited about this documentary that's coming out on him.
Oh, yeah,
isn't it like a real, is it already out?
No, but it does look really good.
Yeah.
It's not a documentary. It's like a live it's a movie. Action movie. Yeah.
It's a movie, but is it based on his life, right?
Yeah, like it's his entire life.
I like this though. I like the, instead of like watching a documentary to an access or that doesn't have access to a person who is deceased, now we just act him. I like this.
Yeah,
as long
yeah.
as it's like real and they don't take any liberties. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, it's Jafar Jackson is playing Michael, who's actually related to him. I don't remember if he's like his great nephew or something.
Biopic.
So it's going to be done right, according to the Jackson Estate. Number three, Take On Me by Aha. By far the best 80s music video, by the way.
I don't know this one.
Take On Me.
If you heard the first 5 seconds of the intro, you would recognize. There you go. Yeah, you know. Yeah. Very, very good
song. It's a builder. You know what I mean? It kind of builds.
No.
No?
The intro to that is fire.
Okay, my bad.
Absolutely not.
It is a good intro.
The second that song starts playing, you go, oh, shit, Take On Me's on. Number two on my list, Your Love by The Outfield.
Yes.
I think this is the perfect 80s song. That
come on, dude. You got to know this one.
Give me some more.
The intro again here is really
good.
Josie's
on a vacation far away.
Oh,
there
okay.
you go. See, he's just got to hear the songs. Maybe not there you go. Yeah,
there you
I
go.
I feel like this probably encapsulates the best feeling of nostalgia from the 80s. I didn't grow up in the 80s, but this one always makes you think, damn, living in the 80s must have been cool. Before we go to our number one, we'll name our three honorable mentions. Honorable mention number one, Every Breath You Take by The Police.
Oh, I know
kind of one. A slept on one. Not necessarily everyone's favorite, but the guitar riff is so addictive to me that I had to put it on the honorable mention. Number two.
You're talking about guitar riffs and shit.
Purple Rain by Prince. One of the few songs that comes close to 8 minutes in runtime that doesn't ever get old. I think this, Don McLean's. Anyone remember that?
All I know about my man is that he was a dynamic hooper. That's really all I got
credit
for
credit
you.
To Charlie Murphy, R.I.P.
That's
R.I.P. both of them, though.
Yeah.
But yeah, this in
Mythical Bucket.
This and Don McLean's American Pie are like the only 2 8-minute songs that I really like. Or maybe there's a handful.
Chat is disappointed that was not number one.
Purple Rain is a fantastic song. Number one, we'll get to that in a sec.
Oh, mention number what a three. Tease, this guy.
Out of Touch.
Yeah, I'm going to need some of that, too.
Out of Touch by Hall & Oates. You'll recognize that one.
Huh?
Let me look it up.
Okay.
I'm going to have to look that one up, too.
Yeah, Kirby, I'm going to need something.
Don't play it, though.
Give me a little something.
You're Out of Touch, I'm Out of Time.
Miss Me.
It's all right. Very, very good song. Hall & Oates, very underrated 80s duo.
Okay.
You recognize it now, J-Lo?
Yeah, it sounds like something that I've definitely heard before.
Quick, play it for the people real quickly and get us demonetized.
No.
No, let's not.
Moving on to my number one 80s hit. It is my all-time favorite 80s song. I will not hold any debates on this. It is Everybody Wants to Rule the World by Tears for Fears. I absolutely love this song. It might not be your favorite 80s song, but it is fantastic. I'm wearing the Tears for Fears shirt today. Kind of my
Oh, effort. You know this one.
You know
Everybody
this one first.
Everybody wants
the opening,
to rule the
another
world.
One of the opening riffs that he would easily recognize.
You really don't know that one?
No, I know it. It's okay. Just like, it's not.
The
it's,
only song, now again, my library of music, especially when it comes to specific eras of music, not very in depth, but Take It on the Run, REO Speedwagon would
fantastic
have been on my list.
Song. Do love REO Speedwagon. I would prefer In My Dreams to REO Speedwagon.
Okay.
But Take It on the Run, obviously a fantastic song as well. So
is question, is this the time of music where we labeled rock music hair bands?
This was when hair metal really got
so
popular.
So this is why I do not listen, or this does not resonate with me, because I feel like your musical taste has a lot to do with what your parents listened to when you were a child.
Sure, that's fair.
My parents were either listening to country music in this era or hair band music in this era.
There is a lot of hair metal
like,
bands.
Isn't it, is I got a little change in my pocket going, Jane. Is that this time period?
I mean, it's
because that my mama listened to that like it was
all right,
on
for the
replay.
Sake of that just happening. No more music lists. It's banned from the show.
I mean, that's not
our AirPod listeners probably just shut the show.
If you
off.
Want, like,
you didn't
hair
think
metal,
it was the drum roll that might have got them.
Hair metal was more like Poison and Rat, and like even Guns N' Roses to a degree is kind of hair metal. So I wouldn't necessarily consider that, but yes,
well,
hair
know,
metal was prominent.
You know me, I only listen to music that I listened to when I was in high school.
Facts.
So There's that.
So that's my top five of the week. If anyone wants to disagree or put in the comments some other
I don't have much of an opinion on this one, but great songs.
Thank you.
Great
thank
songs.
You.
All right, let's switch the operation again. We got film to watch.
Ooh,
ooh
film.
Film. Let me pull up the film.
I say, ooh, film.
We'll fill some airtime right now. These are all future prospects for the Georgia Bulldogs that we believe you need to be keeping an eye on, some very pristine prospects that the Georgia Bulldogs are involved with.
More importantly, Jonathan, these are Georgia Bulldog prospects that are on campus either today or this weekend.
Oh, there you go.
So there you go, a little nug for you guys. If you want some nugs, we had a full list over on patreon.com/BrooksAustin, which is also where our Discord is located. Again, patreon.com/BrooksAustin. I believe Jonathan did his job and put the link in the description of this video. So
always do.
It is there. Now, this is Jelani George. Jelani George is the consensus number one player in 2028, from what I understand. Is a defensive end out of California. Is that correct?
Arizona, I believe.
Arizona, West Coast. That's what my brain was telling me. Listed at 6'5". 245 pounds, some sites 235, some sites 250. Your boy got official measurements today because he was on campus. 6'3 and a half, 248 pounds as a rising junior. Looks way taller and longer on this high school tape than that, though. Now, let's watch it. Okay, before I get into old negative Nancy over here, can I have the keyboard just in case I got to rewind?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this tape's what, 4.5 minutes? Is that what that says over there?
I can't even see it.
Yeah, 4.5 minutes. Okay. Now, the start of it is absolutely electric. Some of my points that we got to coach up are going to come later in the film study. We are big. We are long. We are athletic. We pursue the quarterback with reckless intentions, okay? And we're really, really physical out in the high school level. You see how big and long we are right here?
Good Lord.
I mean, yeah, we're throwing kids on the ground. It is five-star tape. It is first, you know, player in the country type of tape, especially as a sophomore. We're doing this at a very young age. Now,
shout out to the quarterback for trying to do everything he can. My Lord.
Facts. I always get weirded out nowadays. Not weirded out. Always the first question I have in my mind nowadays is, are you reclassed? And I know I shouldn't have that, but I have this all the time. It's like, are you this big and physical as a sophomore because you're really 17 years old? I don't know this about this, but nowadays it feels like every other kid is reclassed. I mean, didn't the New York Post just write an article about this, or The Athletic?
The Athletic, I did believe, yes. New York Times, yeah, same thing.
The same thing. Isn't that weird how it's all just getting smorgasborded nowadays? Yeah. But anyways, that other guy on the other side is pretty good looking too, 93. All right, there's one clip here in the minute where we really start to point out what I have a concern about, okay? But, it is all over the place. We're a freak.
He's wrecking.
Yeah, he definitely is, okay? And we got some...
Oh, that hurt.
Yeah, man. We're dominating, okay? And here's what I do like. Look how big these kids are.
Mm-hmm.
This ain't slap, you know, competition. No, right. These are big boys.
This isn't Timmy and Tyler trying to block. It's kind of Leonard.
Arizona's got pockets of really good football, by the way.
Yeah.
It's kind of Leonard Floyd-y. And that might just be because I watched them yesterday in that Clemson game. But
yeah.
Long, tall.
Okay. We're going to get to – there's some shimmy right there. Did you see that? There's a little bit of wiggle in that rush. Watch this. We get in on the guard. We give him a little double move, get to the inside peck, and run right through it. Okay? We're big and physical. Now, where is my three-point stance rep? We're going to see it here in a second. And then from that point forward, I want everybody's eyes to start really, really paying attention to his lower body. Not this one. There's another clip here in just a second. We're still wrecking stuff. All right? Nope, not this one. We're almost there, I promise. Unless I was just being overcritical. Golly, that it's a false step, but it looks twitchy as hell. Watch him drop his back foot right there.
Yeah, it's
and then
step.
Drive off of that sucker. I would like you to not false step, but man, the twitch. All right, here it is. Okay, here's the stance that I'm worried about. And from this point forward, I want everybody to watch him from the waist down, and I want everyone to pay attention to where his knees are and where his toes are. Kirby, where is our left knee at right now?
His left knee appears
this
to
one right
be
here.
Bent outside of his
bent body. Outside of his foot, right?
Interesting.
It looks awkward. You see his foot? You see his left toe?
Yeah.
Where's his left toe pointing?
Pointing
at a 45-degree angle, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of slotted this way. Now, from this point forward, I want everyone to notice how as we play the game of football, we're playing toes out and knees in. All right, not in exactly a very powerful position. All right, pay very, very close attention to what's going on in our lower body. Now, good news. We got 2 years of high school to kind of grow this out of our body. And maybe we're a kid that grew a lot over the last couple of years and we're not quite muscly built or ready to be built at this size, okay? From this point forward, notice how we kind of play outward, all right, with our toes, okay? It's hard to tell on these wide cuts. Wow. Yeah, buddy, we're there. I'm just trying to find one little negative because, man, there's a bunch of positives.
Yeah, there is.
All right?
He's got pretty decent bend.
To an extent, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's not stiff as a board.
You see what I'm talking about with the toes out?
Look yeah, at us, that's
look
concerning.
Look at us when we come to balance right here on this next clip. Toe out, really bad, and then turning and running. But we got great effort, so it don't matter, man. It don't matter.
Can you get coached out of that, or is that?
See, this is my fear. This is why I'm bringing it up. Sometimes we move like this. Like this kid out there at USC, Jakeem Stewart, he's like this. And it was, sometimes we can't grow out of it, right? Like I guarantee you Trayvon Walker from the moment he was 12 until the moment he was now has never ever been toes out, knees in, ever. You know what I mean? Sometimes we do pick it up though. Our body starts to realize how fast we've grown. That's why I don't know about some of these kids. You know, I'd like to talk to them sometimes and say, hey, how much have we grown over the last couple of years? Or have we always been a big, tall kid? And we play really high. That's the other thing.
Yeah.
But,
this doesn't
I mean,
look, this,
here's the thing. This is better than some of the 2026 five stars that we had come out in this last class. We talked about how bad it was at Edge in 26. What are you about to say, Kirk?
I didn't notice the toes pointing out that bad on this clip. And again, maybe it just might be the stance.
Yeah, I see it more when we're inside.
Uh-huh.
When we can't play as tall and as long. When we have to play with good pad level on that interior, which, by the way, at 6'3 and a half, not 6'5, at 6'3 and a half, we might grow into a three tech.
Correct.
Okay, so these are things we have to apply. Here he is again. We false stepped again right here, but that's all right. We're twitchy as hell.
How, I mean,
what?
It's fairly easy to coach out of false steps.
For sure.
That's what
it got coached out of me with one coaching tip in college. All right. And I've never heard this. It was Coach Pitts. He used to talk about it. He said, if you're trying to move with your left foot first, take your right big toe and grip the ground. If you take your right toe or you take your toe that you don't want to move and you glue it to the ground and that's your last thought that you have as you leave your stance, it will not move.
There you go.
And that's how I would coach it up. We don't false step if we put emphasis on ground, like where we're gripped, if that makes sense. Yeah, we can coach that up easy. Yeah, we're false stepping again. Yeah, we'll clean it up.
God, that's a wide nine.
Yeah, it is, buddy. Scooped. See, we do look just a tad bit stiff. I know I'm being hypercritical here. And again, we could be 15 years old. I have no idea.
Right.
We might be a young sophomore. We don't know. All right.
I mean, yeah, buddy, he's big, bro.
He's big and violent.
But 6'3 and a half is not 6'5.
Right.
No. Nope.
You know what I mean? All right. But damn, we look 6'5. All right. Let's watch this Jaleel Goley kid. This is 2028. He was on campus today. This kid's from, is this Hebron?
Yes, Hebron.
Hebron Christian. Shout out Kenny Dallas, his high school head coach as of this season. His high school head coach, Kenny Dallas, was my high school head coach. Okay.
Damn, I just got the death snare for almost sneezing.
Grown man sneezing.
Okay.
Yeah, we got some ball skills, huh? Woof.
Oof. It always scares me when they come down like that.
Is this South? They played South Paulding last year? Huh. South Paulding scheduled them? That's interesting. This is Prince Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
This quarterback's going to App State. Make a cut. Oh, man.
He's getting to the sideline. He's coaching.
Yeah, he was trying to get to the outside numbers. This is West Forsyth. This is real high school football. What are
You 4 and 5A schools were willing to schedule this school. That good on you guys. Good on you guys, because that if you get beat by a single-A private school as a 6A school, you are getting looked at real, real funny the next week when you go to booster meetings. I mean, for the longest time, I guess was this head coach at Hebron Christian, and then Kenny Dallas took this job over. For the longest time, at places like Elka and Hebron Christian, they would have to schedule out-of-state schools just to get enough games.
Yeah, I remember.
Because their regions were so small.
That's what BT used to have to do.
Yeah, like because if you're a 4, like I said, if you're a 5A school, last thing I want to do is be scheduling some of these dudes. Might get beat. Now, what I don't know and what they do know, because they've camped the kid, I would imagine, is how fast he actually runs. Because it's hard to tell. He's just smooth out here right in these clips. Good God.
Pick that? Damn.
Yeah, he picked that. We're going to sit down on this run in the flat right here in a second. Nope, we're getting back to the high post. Whoop. Yeah, we're great with the ball in the air.
Why are you throwing that ball, bro?
Cha. It's cover 3. We got our hand on the ball.
I like this.
I do too. We're catch man right here. I wish we could see him. Oh, he drives down on the slant. Good hands.
Mm-hmm.
Good active hands. We've never I haven't had to see him open it up because he's never in a bad position. You know what I mean? He's never in a recovery position where we have to show recovery speed. We're always on top.
I mean, I'd argue that's more important than having speed.
1,000%. I mean, like right there, we're so not threatened. Pretty big, too.
I mean, this is a guy that's a Kirby Smart dream, too, because the hand fighting.
Mm-hmm. Are we going to stick somebody here? No, we pick up the scoop or the onside kick. Now we're at safety. Do I get to see you stick here? Yeah, I do. Come downhill. Give me some pop. Poof. Yep. All right.
Decent. Good. That'll do.
That was it. That was the last question, right? Hey, he can cover. He can catch the ball. He can make plays on the ball. Can he tackle? All right. I want to save this for another night. Where are we at time-wise?
We're good.
I know, but what time is it?
42.
No, we don't. We got a lot of Discord Q&A.
That's what I'm saying. You can save it.
No, I want to watch this time.
Okay, we can watch that.
Watch this tape. What's my man's name again? He just picked up an offer today. Jimmy Callis.
From
where?
Pittsburgh.
This is what it's supposed to look like. This is what the tape is supposed to look like. When I turn tape on of a high school athlete that just picked up an offer from Georgia on the offensive line, this is what it ought to look like. Now, I'm not saying he is this, but there is a player comp that I have for him watching the first 10 clips that I watched before the show. Should let you know he's 6'8", 295.
Oh, my gosh. Oh.
Yeah, he's 6'8", 295. He's right there. And he wears a cowboy collar.
I wonder where he is.
Oh, yeah.
Any idea who I copped him to immediately?
No. There's a lot of options.
Clip right there. Monroe Freeling. After watching the last 3 days' worth of tape of Monroe just dying with effort, this was the first thought I had. What in the world?
That poor kid's
I'm telling you, buddy. I'm telling you, buddy.
Come on now. You remind me of Cam Newton.
Boom.
Oh.
Yes, sir. Geez. Yes, sir. Whole slab of ribs.
Ooh.
Good play, corner.
Maybe the end of the highlight.
Bro, don't get up and try to run.
A little stiff in the movements. That's all right. I'm all about this right here. You 6'8", you can be a little stiff.
Dude, this is a absolute dream for a Sam Pittman guard.
Dude, it's just casualties.
Yes, sir.
Every clip.
That's what I'm saying. That's what it ought to be. Oh, boom.
How are we in pass, bro?
I don't care. Don't care. Kirby, he's got one kick, and then the loop is like 15 feet long. He's 6'8". You know what I mean?
Let's not use that logic, because there's players that we say that it's crap for.
So. Boom. We're too tall to play guard, so I hope we can kick slide.
Well, we need to, because that's
how. There's some foot fire. Okay. There's some foot fire.
It's there. We can do it.
Okay. How'd you play tonight, honey? Well, I got a face full of belly button all night long from old Jimmy Kalis.
Ooh, that hurt.
Take him for a ride, big fella.
This is what
Take him for a ride, big fella. This is what I'm talking about right here. Oh, kick slide, kick slide. Get work. Boom.
Oh, my gosh.
Get work.
Just because.
I mean, we look massive. Yeah. We kind of look like the mountain. Sideline. Go get you some water, son. Go get you some water. Oh, screen game. Do we get a body? Oh, okay. We're going to finish with a body, though. Don't you worry. Yep. Lay on him, big fella. Lay on him. Ooh, did you see the head snap? Kirby, come on now. Come on, Kirby. Look at the head snap on the goal line. Boom!
Damn.
Jeez.
Damn.
It's a dead body. You're right, though. I do kind of want to see some more kick slides.
Yeah, we need to see some kick slides.
I do want to see some.
You tell me there's potential for this man, Tyreek Jimison, and Zakai Helton.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, you can't run around that big son of a bitch.
Yes, you can.
You got to do so with some wicked bend.
It's called being a D1 Power 4 athlete.
Okay. Hey, get him jumping rope. We'll be all right. We'll be all right. Let's get some Discord Q&A. Again, Discord comes with our patreon.com/BrooksAwesome subscription. Less than a pub sub a month over there with us. It's a great time to hang out. It's a great place to be. Let's head over there now and address some of these cues. First one is 7 Cloud coming to Georgia.
Starting off hot.
It's a banger of a question to begin the Q&A.
You ain't lying.
It's usually the lighthearted portion of the show.
It's coming straight from Callaway. There was a thing that went on at Butler.
Mm-hmm.
But there was not more importantly, there was also a knee injury that went on at Butler mm-hmm. this past year. So I don't know if 7 Cloud is going to make it to the University of Georgia. But if I know anything about – I was thinking about this today. If I know anything about how college football works with regards to talent acquisition, that kid's going to end up on an SEC roster somewhere.
Yep.
We're going to be watching film one day and going, who the hell is that kid? Oh, my God.
Oh.
It's 7 Cloud. Lord knows he's talented.
Mm-hmm.
Does Jaden Riddell stand a shot of getting any playing time? Yeah, he got playing
for
time
sure.
last year.
Yeah, he came back for a reason. He's going to get playing time.
This one comes from Justin. How many titles does Kirby get? He's got 2, I think.
I've always said let's get one more.
Let's say to do this, you have to set a limit on how long he's going to coach, don't you?
If you get ideally another 7 years out of Kirby, I think it's fair to say 2 more titles.
You think he stays here 20 years?
Just short of it.
That's pushing it.
Because we just wrapped up year 10.
What would, by the time Andrew's a senior, fifth-year senior, how many years would that be?
Oh, gosh.
Fifth-year senior in college?
He's just now entering high school.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's 9 more years, 10 more years.
I mean, that's 10 more, 10 maybe 11
more
years.
So you'd be looking at 20 years for Kirby at Georgia.
I
mean, it's shaping up like Andrew might be a
– Might be a thing.
Might be an SEC football player. Could be. A little too early to talk
about. I've always
just
said he'll get one more.
Have you seen photos of him lately?
He's Andrew?
Huge. Dude, he's long.
He's so big.
Yeah.
He's like 6'4".
Mm-hmm. Bro, he was dapping up Dalen at Pro Day and was taller than him. I was like, good God.
Yeah. He's 14 years old.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Maybe. Maybe something.
Get that man on the basketball court.
Nah, he's actually a baseball player. How does Larry Knight make the pass rush look different than the past 2 years? So, this is me. Like, I don't think Uzo was some slap. Okay?
Yeah.
I don't think Uzo was some bad football coach. I think what Georgia lacked the last year was twitch. Last year, they did not have a guy that could win now. They didn't have a Jalen Walker last year. This year, I think they got something in the form of Amaris Williams.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that win now factor, because that's what – for Georgia to have good sack numbers, that's what they're going to have. Nobody is holding the ball against Georgia. Nobody. Okay, so the time to release is very, very quick. That means you got to kind of beat people now. And you got to get home now.
You got to finish at the
twitch.
Point.
Yeah, you got
which is also something they were not very good at last
Chris
year.
Cole wasn't good at it last year. That was the guy who I thought gave – that was the guy who I thought left the most money on table last year.
For definitely. Sure.
From a finishing standpoint. But, like, Gabe and Quintavious aren't guys that are going to win now.
No.
They, in my mind, I think the best version of them looks like
a lot more athletic version of Jack Sawyer and JT Tuimoloau.
That's fair.
That's how they're going to win. They're going to run through you, not around you.
Mm-hmm. Totally agree.
You know what I mean? They're going to push pockets and push tackles into people, not, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. This comes from Jameel Sire. What is something unexpected at Fake Kirby witnessed at the practice session?
Something.
Can I take a guess?
Go ahead, yeah.
You were taken aback by how aggressive in coaching style Todd Hartley is.
I wasn't taken aback by that. I kind of expected. I was. You know what? You know what? I was taken aback by, and I forgot to add this in the notes. Mike Bobo was running up and down that field.
Huh?
Yeah,
running.
They're doing
pace.
They're doing Riverside for wide receiver drills, and he is jogging. Now it's, you know, Mike Bobo. He's not young.
I apologize. I'm unfamiliar with his game.
That's what I was taken aback by, seeing Mike Bobo. Now he's not sprinting down the field. He's not. But he's like, all right,
I know
Riverside.
You're not allowed to take video at practice, but next time you do that, take a video of it.
I want. Yeah, I mean, Mike Bobo probably
remind me to tell you about something after the show.
When I was the 20 minutes I was there, I would say Mike Bobo probably ran 800 yards worth.
It's a lot of yardage.
Yeah.
In 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Huh.
So that's what took me back the most.
All right.
Shout out Mike Bobo.
Pro player comp for Elias Williams. My response was, oh my God, you're going to make me Gronk.
LeBron James.
I don't have a player.
Is there
comp.
One?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't have one.
Not
if
really.
It goes the way it could go, it's Gronk. Yeah. Somebody that massive, that's really, really good as an end-of-line tight end, that also, how in the hell do you cover him type of football player? That's what Elias could be. Because he's not, to me, he's far better as an athlete and a mover and a route, like even like a space mover than Darnell ever
for
was.
Sure.
Like the moment Darnell got here, he was already 265
by
the time he was playing. It's like, oh my God. He looked to me more closer to like 2021 Leonard Pope ever would. Like if Leonard Pope grew up today, he would be a 6'7 kid that plays 7-on-7 and moves.
Right.
You know what I mean? He wouldn't be an inline tight end that looks like a big tackle.
Correct.
So I haven't seen anything like Elias.
Yeah, no, it's
I don't hard. Know what we would compensate. Again, if it works out. By the way, we'll probably have the same conundrum about what do we say Caden Prothro is.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say Tre'Dez Green is?
Right.
Yeah.
What do you comp those players to? We don't really have them. Fourth and two, what is the best UGA offense and defense you can make up any players all time? Also, what plays are you calling? Give me the goal line package with Jalen Carter at fullback.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they had all kind of NFL offensive linemen on that package.
Mm-hmm. Give me Herschel Walker.
Oh, and didn't Jordan Davis play extra tackle?
Yes.
Yes. They had a heavy package with Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter in it.
Give me that with Stetson at quarterback, dual threat action. Oh, no. Give me Shock.
Yeah. Shout out Shock.
Shout out Shock. And then defense. Just give me 2021 UGA defense. No need. No additives. We're good.
It's fine.
Just right there.
It works.
And if you make me want to feel sentimental, maybe put Pollock on it. But, I mean, even at that point, it's like, you know, rich get richer. who has the best drip since covering the team? I always connote this with, I ain't never taken a bad photo of you, which for that reason, Carson Beck wins.
For me, like in recent memory, I'd probably go with Javon Bullard.
Javon.
Etienne had that shit on.
He did.
Etienne looked great in a Georgia uniform.
Etienne now?
Yeah. Etienne?
Mm-hmm.
Etienne?
Any pregame photo I ever took of Javon Bullard, though, was clean.
Yeah.
Even without all the pads and stuff on.
Andrew Thomas looked like a beautiful offensive lineman.
Nate Frazier is a very slept on, like, aesthetically pleasing.
Nah, I'm good. I think Nate's a great player. I wouldn't say he's aesthetically pleasing. He don't even – isn't he just – he's straight.
Yeah,
stock, isn't
minimal drip.
Yeah,
but sometimes that's the best one you have, like a Marcus Peters style, where it's like, oh, he's not wearing anything and he's doing that.
Yeah, I think they're from the same area, aren't they?
Maybe.
But aren't they both Cali kids? Maybe
Nate,
a Cali thing.
Nate is certainly a Cali kid.
I think Marcus is. We agree with that. I think Marcus is a Cali guy. Maybe it's a Cali thing.
Maybe.
Huh? Let's see. Mykel Williams never took a bad photo.
That's a good one.
Mykel Williams, and he's a minimalist. He just rocked the tight sleeves with the ankle or with the wrist tape. and some spat on the ankles.
There you go. That goes against your theory right there.
All the linebackers look like stock.
Yeah.
Roquan was stock. N'Kobe stock. CJ stock. Quay Walker just looks beautiful.
Mm-hmm. The most, I'll die on this, the most amazing a player ever looked in a Georgia jersey. Now, career-wise, did not match up to it. MJ Sherman running down the field on special teams. My Bro, God, dude.
Didn't he have some ugly number, though?
Eight. It's not a bad number.
Yeah, no.
In fact, I think early in his career, he was in the 30s.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that, but when he was number eight running down the field, dude, bro.
Oh, Zayden Walker. Zayden Walker looks great.
He does. It's a good one.
Mm-hmm. I think a better conversation is, he looks like that and he's that good? And Jamari Sawyer. Saul McKinley.
Bro, like, come on.
What?
The MJ Sherman photos.
Oh, my God. You over here, Gallivant over MJ Sherman.
He looked great, dude. I'll die on that.
I missed on that one. I thought he was going to be great coming out of the DMV out of high school. Yeah.
I did, too. I thought he was going to be great when I was standing in the student section in 2021 going, who the hell is number eight?
Let's see here. Ooh, I might have skipped down here. If for some reason Pug had to play this season, what is something the offense could be more comfortable doing with him instead of Gunner?
You would be a way more aggressive offense, I bet. That dude doesn't shy away from much.
Him, not play calling standpoint.
I don't think
not a play calling standpoint. No. People are going to run with that and be like, why wouldn't we play him if we could be more aggressive?
I'm talking about Puglisi is not gun
just pulling
shy.
Triggers.
I don't,
yes.
think,
yeah.
I don't think schematically there's really an advantage that Puglisi provides you right now other than maybe you can draw up more explosive concepts. But even then, Gunnar Stockton had plenty of explosive concepts. Like,
yeah.
I don't think that there's one clear advantage where it's
offensively,
like,
it wouldn't look that much different. It would just be a different type of quarterback play.
Different trigger man.
Yeah.
Who's a lot more trigger happy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Based off what we've seen. It may have been tampered. We don't know. Or tampered down.
Tempered.
Tempered. Tempered.
Down. There you go.
But why is it called a tamp?
I don't know. Well, I think – I don't know. I'm not going to
dive
into that.
Why do you tamp dirt but temper expectations?
I think it's two different types. I think tempered – temper is more like
English language is stupid.
Yeah.
What's Kirby's theme/tagline this year? Apparently 80s music.
He's talking about Kirby Smart.
Oh, my bad. He's asked this a couple times. I don't know.
I think they're still hitting on fire, passion, energy.
Based off Blue Helmets.
Yeah, they're still doing the Blue Helmets
thing. The Guardian Caps are back.
We should ask Kirby if he's going – he should put – every time you earn a Blue Helmet, you should get a dog bone.
Oh, dude, bring back the dog
bones. Bring back the dog
bring
bones.
Bring back the dog bones, please.
When did they get rid of them?
When Kirby Smart got here.
Literally his first year.
He said, we're not doing individual.
No fun with that guy, man. I mean, I'd take dog bones for two titles.
Boy.
Wrong.
You've hit us with a Carson
Wrong.
Beck, the most
Wrong.
Aesthetically pleasing
Wrong.
Georgia Bulldog. And
now. Wrong.
I'll say, if you do dog
Which
bones,
freshman's name is ringing out thus far? Zaki?
Zakai.
Zakai.
Zakai Helton.
Zakai Helton.
Zakai Helton. Definitely.
For sure.
Ooh, top five scouting theories could base them off priorities, physical, or character traits. Y'all know my Nigerian scouting theories. I think for some reason Nigerian athletes, they just put muscle mass on at an extremely high rate. Now, this doesn't matter as much going college to pro, but going high school to college, if you have a Nigerian athlete, just assume he's going to put 30 pounds on a muscle. It just happens. Like with the Joseph Jonah Ajonye thing coming out of high school, people were projecting him as an edge rusher, and there's like, no way, guys. He's 275 pounds right now. And if you talk to him, he's put 45 of that on the last year. He's going to be 305 by the time he's done playing college football. He's already 290 pounds right now, and he's carrying it really, really well. He's got skinny ankles, which goes me to my next one. I'm a big skinny ankles, calf development, muscle. What does it look like? Skinny ankles is important for athleticism. Just general muscle mass and definition in the calf will indicate this, the type of athlete, lateral mobility. Can they move side to side? Can they move well? How high up the calf belly is on the leg will indicate his explosiveness mm-hmm. or her explosiveness. If you look at a player like, or an athlete like LeBron James, his calf muscle is damn near underneath his kneecap.
Yep.
All right. If you look at a player like Julius Peppers, same thing. Mm-hmm. Those guys are where the muscle is matters relative to explosivity and just general size of ankles impacts what you got going on. Now, I don't want to see like super tiny ankles on a massive frame because then I'm really, really worried about whether or not you're going to like have ankle issues, whether or not your ligaments will hold up to all the mass on top of them.
Mm.
That's three. I'd have to think about four and five. I don't have any ones. Got to see him throw in person.
Mm.
Quarterback scouting theory. I think the tape lies about quarterbacks all the time. Shout out Jake Merklinger. That's four. I don't have a fifth right now, I think. Let's see here. Will we see 13 personnel this year? Yes, you see it every year from Georgia.
Last year.
Yeah, every year. It's in the bag. Who is the most raw but physically gifted dude on the roster based on God-given metrics? And then who is perhaps not the most physically gifted but most skilled player on the roster? Drew Bobo is the last one of those. Even though Drew's going to like 5'10", 5' pretty well, he's going to move okay, even though he doesn't look like that on tape. He's going to test okay. I'm talking about like a 5'05", 40 with like a 5'25", 5'10", 5', and he'll be okay. But he outplays all of that. And then physically gifted, my mind immediately went to Darren Ekwonogben
because
look much better than that guy. Andre Evans fits. If you saw Andre Evans, you'd
by the way, he's at NC State now.
Is he?
Yeah, he's at NC State.
He's going to play for them. But anyways, players like that, if you just saw some of these guys, you'd be like, what in the world?
Oh, yeah, go to practice and you'd be like, whoa.
Chase Linton fits that too. Chase Linton is a very uniquely talented football player. Why have so many people seemingly forgotten about London Humphreys? I think that's just one of those, we know what you are, so no one's talking about you. What could you personally have put at the over-unders for each SEC team? It's too long right now. We're already over the minutes. Sorry, JT. Marcus, one, how sustainable is Georgia's dominance in recruiting compared to programs like Alabama and Ohio State? As long as Kirby's here, they'll be a top five recruiting machine. Number two, dream out-of-conference matchup for the Dogs, Ohio State.
Ohio State would be
Oregon would – well, you already did it. But Oregon at Autzen would be fun.
Yeah. We actually talked about this, I think, during our Q&A when Brooks wasn't here.
Give me Florida State.
You want to go to the Brick Mansion?
I would love to see Georgia play there. And by the way, if we're playing out of state games on a 9-game conference schedule, give me a game that's not going to be hard and strainful.
Last one for the night. How long until the only presser given to us is Kirby postgame? I think he's contractually obligated.
Yeah, I was about to say, I think he's obligated to get
I think
more
he does
that.
The bare minimum right now.
Yeah, I don't think there's ever been an instance where Kirby Smart's like,
let's give him one. He doesn't have to talk to us at Pro Day.
Mm.
He does that specifically to love up on those kids.
Yeah.
And that's honestly the most carefree and open. At least, I don't know how he was this year. When we interview him there, he's the most carefree.
I mean, it is a lot of, those are great guys. I love them. Mm-hmm. I mean, but he also knows, like, he's only going to get questions about the players that are exiting.
Somebody said, what's wrong with Gunner on a count of three? One, two, three.
He's got a knee.
Y'all good?
Yep. Good.
Love you guys. Hope you enjoyed it. Hit that thumbs up button on your way out. See you. Bye.